Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 29th, 2014. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, we join Blind Mice brewer Casey Letellier at a meeting of the Brewers of Siloam Springs, or BOSS, as they sample batches of Imperial Stout and add them to a whiskey barrel for some delicious aging. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can find me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. Also, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james. Our show page on Facebook is at facebook.com/basicbrewing. Thanks to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. You know how that goes, apparently. Whenever you think of Amazon shopping, go to our website first, basicbrewing.com. Click on our Amazon ad on the right-hand side of the page. That will take you to Amazon where you can shop as you normally do. Won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you this show. We greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Our associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site work in this similar fashion. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes and our Android app on Amazon.com. We're in the BlackBerry podcast directory. We're in the Stitcher app. We're on Google Plus. We're in the Windows Phone directory. We're just everywhere. Check out our Brewer's Logbook at basicbrewingshop.com. In the front is a blank calendar that you can use to track your fermentations, plan your brews, and there's room in the back to log the details of up to 50 batches of brew. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support, and thanks to everybody who's done so already. And protect your precious beer with one of our growler bags. Check those out at basicbrewingshop.com. Our Basic Brewing bottle openers are in stock and heading out the door. For a limited time, you can get a free bottle opener with the purchase of any of our DVD combos. So that is quite the deal. Go to basicbrewingshop.com to see more info on that. I got a message asking where the listener email segment had gone, and that the listener who wrote the note said that it was a favorite part of the show. Conversely, I got another note from another listener suggesting I move the listener email to the end of the show. So you can't please everybody, I guess. I am still getting a bunch of listener email, and I'm making every effort to answer each one. But it's interesting that I'm getting less of the kinds of pleas for help that I used to get and used to read at the beginning of the show. So maybe the answers that you guys are looking for are being found in the archives of the show or on the web in general before they're making their way to my inbox. I get fewer of the kind of newbie-type questions that I used to get. I am getting a bunch of reports through email on brewing experiments that you guys are doing, which is really cool, and along with the suggestions for show topics and such as that, and I'm really grateful for all that. And I'm glad to try and help out or forward your email messages asking for help as well, so don't be shy about sending those in. All that to say that I plan to get back to reading more email after our June break. I've been kind of slacking off. I've been answering the email, but just not reading them on the show. And we are taking June off from posting podcast episodes, as we do every year. But we will be back in July with lots of content, we hope, from the National Homebrewers Conference in Grand Rapids. Got a bunch of email from listeners who are planning to be there. So if you're wandering the halls or at one of the venues, stop and say hi. Now, fans of the archives will recognize the first voice that you will hear this week. Way back in December of 2005. Wow. I went to Casey Letellier's house to brew with him and a couple of his friends for what they called a Blind Mice Brew. And if you haven't heard that show, it was a lot of fun to do. Now, Casey has helped to establish a really cool restaurant in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, where we went, or where I went to record the show. And he's helped to found a homebrewing club. And I recently spent a Saturday afternoon with members of BOSS, the Brewers of Siloam Springs, as they sampled and evaluated their batches of Imperial Stout about to go into a whiskey barrel. Well, Casey, you were one of the early participants in the podcast, and here we are. What? 8 years later? Nine years later?
I think so.
It's a long time. So then we did another show in the meantime, and there's somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's been a few years since we've gotten together. What have you been up to?
Well, I helped start a restaurant here in Siloam Springs.
That we're standing under.
Yes, under the restaurant, in the unglamorous underbelly of the restaurant.
What's it called and what's it about?
It's called 28 Springs, and this is Chef Miles James from James at the Mill in Johnson, Arkansas. This is his second restaurant, and it is it's a little more casual, but very focused on cooking seasonally, cooking things that feel kind of appropriate for the region, but with a great sense of beautiful presentation, kind of a little bit of influence of French kind of technique, but with really familiar kinds of dishes. And so my area of this is probably not surprisingly, it's the bar. So I started the bar at 28 Springs, and I really wanted this to be a place that showed off everything great about the craft brewing movement. And it's funny, even in the it's been open two years, and when I started, there were only a couple of options as far as like local beers went. And just in that 2 years, it's exploded. It's been amazing. And I'm really excited about Ozark beers recently. I've had a lot of theirs on tap. We've had Core. We've had Saddleback. I will be adding Fossil Cove soon. And it's just been an amazing thing. We've got some of these beers that I feel like stand up to any of the other great craft beers from around the country. Mm-hmm. So we've got 16 taps, and we rotate them pretty aggressively. We have a couple of ones that we kind of keep on hand just to be familiar, but the rest of the taps rotate with the season, with what kind of fun things I can get. As it relates to the Homebrewing Club, we have tap 14 is the boss tap. So the brewers of Siloam Springs get to choose what that beer will be. And when we start working our way through the previous keg, I usually send out an email or sometimes at a meeting, and I'll choose three things that feel like they're a little out of the ordinary. Sometimes things that, you know, there's just a few kegs in the state available, and they vote on which one they want, and then we get that in.
Which is kind of cool because you can order something that's maybe a little adventurous for the standard customers, but you know that there's a base that's going to come and drink the beer.
Yes, absolutely.
At least that's what the theory is.
Yeah, that's the theory. And it's been a fun thing. We got the Stillwater Troublesome. No, not Stillwater Troublesome. Who brewed Troublesome? Scurry? The brewery. It's a brewery up by Chicago that made a Berliner Weiss. Mm. And Berliner Weiss is are a lot of extra work to make, and so it was a 4% sour wheat beer and pretty expensive as far as my average tap prices go, and I was really surprised how great the reception for that beer was. I mean, all my the bosses were here and they all tried it, but then even in my kind of wider community of beer fans, people were really excited to try this really different thing. And then, as you got to taste earlier, or later, depending on how you edit this, there's been like some Berliner Weiss being brewed in the Homebrewing Club. And it's really fun to see kind of bringing in some of those experimental styles and those being really inspiring for us to then kind of go out and try our own version of those.
Talk about the club. I mean, how long has it been around, and how many people have you got in it?
Well, the Homebrewing Club started in 2009. Tracy and I had moved back from England, and that was actually, I think that was the last time we did a show together. It was right after I'd moved back from England.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And there were a couple of my college professors who were talking about wanting to brew. I said, let's do this. Let's brew together. I'll show you the ropes. And so we brewed a few batches of beer together, and then they brewed a few batches of beer with some other people who were interested, and it just kind of took off. And now we've got this club, and we are still a pretty young club. As opposed to some of the other clubs in the region, I feel like we're pretty informal. But it's been a really great thing, and we taste each other's beers and give each other critique, and it's a great thing. You've got this group of people who, you know, you run out of yeast on a Sunday afternoon, and someone will spot you a packet of yeast. We've done some really fun group malt buys together where we've bought an entire pallet of malt and split the cost. So it's been really, really great. And I think we've all gotten to be better brewers from the experience.
And talk about this beer that you brewed for this barrel project.
Yeah, so we have a friend named Caleb who wasn't able to be here today, who is from Kentucky, and he's working on a project here. And we've been talking about how much fun it would be to do a barrel project together. And he said, I'll bring you back a barrel. So when he went home, he came back with a freshly empty bourbon barrel. And we all chipped in and paid him back, and then decided that an imperial stout was what we wanted to sort of christen this barrel with. So we all brewed the same recipe, and a little bit of variation in sort of how they turned out, but yeah, all starting with the same recipe, and really excited to see what some time in the bourbon barrel does.
So can you give a few details about the recipe?
Sure, yeah. So it was 19 pounds of maris otter, and then pound of chocolate, pound of roast barley, a pound of Carignan, and a pound of Cair Munich, and then 1 pound of dark Belgian candy syrup. Mm. So for most of us, that was a real stretch on our kind of equipment capabilities. Very, very full mash tuns to be able to get that accomplished. But bittered with Northern Brewers, fermented with an English yeast strain. Most of us used the 1028, the London strain. A few of us used 1098. And then, you know, just to keep things interesting, a couple of SO4s in there. and most of us also brewed a low-gravity batch of beer and pitched on that yeast cake. Which, yeah, great pitching rates for a beer that big. The target was 1111, and most of us got pretty close to that, a couple a little bit over, a couple a little bit less, having a lot dependent on how vigorous your boil was and how efficient your sparging. So, yeah.
And then I'll probably play this interview first, and then we'll go back in time,
okay,
and listen to the process
magic.
the magic of the tasting. but it's interesting. Number one, how different each of the beers were, in good ways.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert: nobody got voted down. But it's interesting, and I guess it's not surprising because everybody has a different system, everybody has a different setup, fermentation temperature, you know, variation in yeast. But it's fun to take that base recipe and see how different it can be.
It is. It is really fun. And I also love the process of brewing kind of outside of the limits of where we normally brew. I think, speaking for myself and for the rest of the guys in the club, I would say between probably 1040 and 1080 is where 90% of our beers live. Mm-hmm. And within that range, it's pretty easy. The beer almost makes itself when you're kind of in those ranges. But then some of us making really low gravity beers for either starters or second runnings beers, so kind of beers in the 1030, where it can be challenging to make a balanced beer at that range. And then you get kind of over 1010 and things get really challenging too, as far as getting your yeast healthy enough to finish a beer off, which I experienced that as a challenge with mine. And it's really fun when we're kind of doing these projects together to push the limits on the low side and the high side and see what happens.
Yeah, no, that was another fun thing is to see, you know, they had kind of free rein, I guess, as far as what kind of small beer to make as the starter, and then what kind of beer to make as a second runnings beer. And so, again, it's fun to see what the creativity, you know, of the home brewers were to kind of riff on that theme as well.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely fun.
So how long is it going to stay in the barrel?
I'm not entirely sure. I feel like the oak projects that I've done before have been mostly with chips. And with chips, man, that influence happens so quickly. And, you know, a couple of extra days and suddenly you've overshot your target. With a barrel, and especially with a barrel this big, I'm expecting that process to be slower. But we are just going to taste it. We'll give it a month. And then after that, we'll taste it every couple of weeks. And as it feels like we're getting closer to the target, probably once a week. And when we hit it, we'll all fill carboys and take it home and bottle or keg, as the case may be.
So you're not going to have enough to fill the barrel at this initial filling, right?
This is true.
I noticed, I left for a second, I came back, and you were kind of asking for volunteers to help fill the barrel. So is that a concern to you?
It is a concern, and we are going to need to fill it. For this kind of fermentation environment, we really don't want headspace in the barrel. Definitely some concern about acetobacter if we leave headspace. So there's a couple. I have a batch of strong porter that I hate to move away from the recipe that we've done, but as far as just making sure that we've got headspace filled, I think that we might add that batch. And then there's another brewer in the club who has an imperial oatmeal stout. Mm. And I think between the two of us, I think we will get the rest of the headspace filled up.
And then do you have plans on what happens to the barrel next?
We do. We just had a little vote, and the project that we're going to take on next is Quad. A little bit inspired by Three Philosophers. We're going to do a little bit of sour Montmorency cherry juice in with the Quad. So just a little bit of fruit notes. I feel like any sort of residual character from the Imperial Stout is going to just kind of add to the character of that beer. And since some of the brewers in the club don't have a way to do really precise temperature control, doing a quad where we can kind of let the temperatures ramp up a little bit and still get nice, clean fermentation as we go into summer feels like a good...
Yeah, allegedly it's going to get warmer. It's in like the 50s here in the past couple of days, but knowing Arkansas, it's going to be pretty hot pretty quick.
Alas.
But this is cool. I mean, having the basement space down here to put the barrel. Have you entertained any thoughts of going into brewing commercially yourself? I mean, you know, here you are, you're up there tending the bar, you're serving other people's beers, and you're an excellent brewer yourself. Are there any pulls on your heartstrings toward that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't have to disclose anything.
No, it's a matter of timing. Downtown Siloam has had a few really great kind of outpost restaurants that have been here for a couple of years. There's a cafe on Broadway that's the longest running restaurant here. Then there's this amazing pizza place that started a few years after that. Great coffee shop called Poor John's. The pizza place, Fratelli's. And then we've been here a couple of years now, and it feels like we are starting to get that kind of critical mass of like going beyond just like scattered restaurants and actually having a restaurant scene. So my thought is, once we have that established, once it's clear that we have a restaurant scene here beyond just that kind of pioneer restaurants, I think then the timing will be right for Silent Spring Brewery, and I'm very excited about that. That is definitely something that I think about a lot.
What's the population of Cylon?
I believe it's 15,000.
Oh, which is a small community.
It is. It is a small community, and it's one of those things where I think in the past it probably was too small to do something like a brew pub. But we are changing so quickly, and it's been wonderful to see. Like we talked about a little earlier, just seeing the Foam Fest and seeing what an amazing cross-section of people are now excited about good beer. Whereas 10 years ago, it was kind of a fringe thing to be excited about good beer. And now it's not really that strange. Now it's kind of ordinary people who have other hobbies as well who are into beer. And I do feel like, reflecting back on the time that we lived in England, kind of every village, even kind of a village of 1,000 people, had a pub in the middle of the village. And I feel like we're still experiencing the sort of long-term hangover from Prohibition, of the kind of sweeping away of all of the great culture of good public spaces where you could meet friends and drink beer. It's taken a long time, and actually, you know, for Benton County, it's just this last year when we finally went wet. And so we're repairing a lot of damage, and I look forward to the day when, around here as well, every little town has their own brewery that reflects the tastes of that group of people, and there's that place to sort of celebrate, you know, the wonderful community that happens around good beer.
Awesome. Well, keep us posted, Casey.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's good to see you again.
It is good to see you, too. It has been too long. Well, this is the boss homebrewing club's first attempt at removing the bung from a bourbon barrel. I hope we don't wreck it.
Explain that sound that we're hearing in the background.
This is drywall screws going into the bung, so we have something to pry on.
Uh-huh.
Yay.
All right.
Open.
Got it.
First of all, introduce yourself.
Ryan Paskowitz. I'm a boss member here in Cylon Springs. This beer is my first attempt at a sour mash Berliner Weiss. I did a 5-gallon batch, 2.5 we did on about 24 ounces of raspberries. So did the sour mash, kept it about 100 to 120. Ended up mashing a little too thin, so I had to heat my whole mash back up and then draw the wort off of that. And then just pitched USO5, and that was the end result. So I pitched, just in the sour mash, just pitched about a pint of unmilled grain and kept oxygen out, and turned out pretty good. So
did it get stinky over the... How long did you keep it?
No, actually, it smelled... It was on for 48 hours. And it... You know, I read a lot about trying to do this correctly and thought it was going to be stinky and interesting. And it actually ended up smelling quite clean, kind of like yogurt. You know, that clean Greek yogurt smell. Never got any pellicle or anything going, and... Yeah, so I was pretty happy.
Well, this is very, very nice. It's tart, and the fruit comes through. And now a certain homebrewing celebrity has said that he has never tasted a sour mash beer that didn't taste like dirty dishwater.
Huh. I don't think that tastes like dishwater, so I'm pretty happy.
No, I think you're right. This is very tasty. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers.
So, Casey, we're going through the process of tasting each of the carboys.
Yes.
And it's a little bit... Is there a little bit of tension here? Because, you know, is there pride on the line here?
Probably a little pride on the line. And we agreed ahead of time that if we thought anyone's beer was crap, we would tell each other that and not put it in the barrel. We're generally pretty polite when we critique each other's beers, but there's too much on the line today.
Because it's all going in together.
Yes.
This ended at 10:32, started at 11:15. So
he overshot.
I pitched Easton it three times to get it to where it's at. So
which
good.
Do you started on a yeast cake and then?
I started on a yeast cake at 10:28, and then at 2 weeks transferred and put on a USO4 or pitched USO4 in it, and then a week later made another starter and pitched 10:28 in it again. And
that's because it was at the 10:60.
Yeah, it was still too. It was a 10:60.
Okay.
So and then it got it down to here, and this is it, 10:32.
It's actually pretty balanced the way it is. I mean,
yeah,
and so 11%.
Yeah, it needs to sit for a while. It's kind of boozy to me. The nose in it's really, really boozy.
But I think it smells more boozy than it tastes. To me, it's not.
I haven't tasted it yet, so.
I tasted it. It's good.
Very nice.
It's interesting how each one's different.
It is, isn't it?
If everybody votes it a no, that's fine. We all take a vote, can't get to drink it.
This one seems a little more roasty to me.
Mm-hmm. You changed up the recipe, Casey?
Oh, this one's not mine.
This is mine.
Sorry.
There are a couple things. We bought 20 pounds of grain, and when we went ahead, we're like, oh, it was only supposed to be 19. So we have one extra pound of Mary Sauter in there, and one other mistake. We ended up with, I think, a pound and a half of either Care Vienne or Care Munich. I can't remember right off the top of my head by mistake. But aside from that, it's to recipe. One of my only concerns is I have a hard time keeping them cool. Keeping it cool enough in my house. I don't have an aquarium set up, so it spiked on occasion to 70, 72, and then I try to bring it back down, mid 60s. But
it's Chino. It is interesting. It does feel more roasty than some of the ones we've tasted so far. But it's good. Maybe a touch more esters.
Maybe so.
There are worse things to do, by the way, than this. Just an observation.
The original gravity was just under one, so 10.98, 10.99, something like that. Went down to 10.22 before secondary, and I pitched SO4 in the secondary, so might be a little lower, I don't know. So,
thumbs up. Thumbs up. Did you use 10.28 as well?
Yeah, I used 10.28.
Did anybody use 10.98?
I did.
Cool.
Let's do one of those next.
On your original, you said 10.28, right?
I said 10.28, and then when Devin was out, I thought 10.98, and he was out of that too. Anyway, I'm curious, because it's the... In reading sort of since then, I was thinking 10.28's got such a nice British profile. But then reading and then hearing that 10% is really about its alcohol tolerance most of the time. So I thought, well, if we're doing the like crazy high pitch rate that we're doing, it seems like it ought to be able to kind of work its way past 10%. But so far... it doesn't really seem to. And that's mine finished higher than I would have liked. I mean, it finished at 10% with 10.28. So I'm curious if you guys got a little higher with the 10.98.
I didn't.
Yeah?
I hit the numbers 11.13 and then got down to 10.23 or 10.24.
That should be over 10. So.
Yeah, that's
got to be 12% at that point.
12.
Then.
Yeah. Is that 12? 12.3?
That's good.
Nice. So hopefully you still have some of your yeast alive. Can influence the stuff that finished higher in the barrel.
Well, I've got another pack.
I was.
Yeah, there's
nice and sweet.
It's roasty.
Now, what's funny is that's the exact same recipe, exact same grinder, exact same brew pot as mine. And they are very different beers.
Because of the yeast.
Because of the yeast.
As was your starter.
And mine probably fermented a little higher than yours too, because I just had
it in the
back.
You didn't have it in the freezer?
No.
And this is, we're similar in that mine felt a little more roasty, and I don't recall using, like, putting too much more than the recipe called for in terms of roasted barley.
So I wonder if we're getting a correlation of beers fermented a little warmer are showing a little bit more roast character.
Could be.
This is a starter beer.
Yeah. What are we tasting here?
That's good.
Which is this?
The English bitter, the starter beer for my Imperial Stout.
So this is the beer on whose yeast cake you fermented the bigger beer.
Yes.
This should taste pretty similar to mine. Same yeast, and we did an ordinary bitter.
3.2%. 1098.
Yes. A nice after the syrup. This is pretty nice.
That's a palate cleanser.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
Finished with a little bit of American twist. Finished with an ounce of Centennial for aroma at Flame Out.
Smells nice.
And yeah, it was 10:30. I think it was 10:35. It's about 3.2% or so. It felt like the Centennial kind of faded faster than I liked.
Whoa, that's bright.
Turned out fair enough.
That's good. It's small, but it's substantial. I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not watery.
I mashed pretty high. It was 10. I mean, not 10. Excuse me, 158 or so to try to get a little more body.
I did too.
And that worked out pretty well. And then Northern Brewer hops somewhere in. I don't remember how many IBUs without looking. But yeah. Good little roasty.
Very nice.
Cheers.
Got a little carried away with hops.
In that case, you can give me
in
more.
That case,
no, that's enough. No.
You must have more.
Oh,
we're gonna acclimate you.
What is this, Casey?
So this is my second running's beer.
Oh wow!
It's 10:32.
Wow.
Hopped with Amarillos, finished with quite a lot of El Dorado, and turns out too much. The hop nose is pretty nice, but it feels like it kind of wrestles with the roast, and it feels a little noisy. That's at least my assessment of it.
That's the kind of noise I like. I like hops.
Casey, you're giving away
your Arkansas heritage because you said El Dorado.
I guess I'm from here now.
I get a lot of orange zest.
It's got sort of a mandarin orange nose to it.
Do you think that's?
I think that's the hops.
Yeah, the your bittering hops.
No, I think that's the El Dorado. Yeah.
Okay, the El Dorado. Wow.
Stick with it, Casey.
I feel like if it was twice as strong, this could be a balanced beer, but like being 10:32 and being this hoppy, it's kind of aggressive.
Yeah. I think you're too critical on yourself. I like it.
Yeah.
So what are we sipping?
This is a porter, second running's porter, started at about 10:40. I can't remember what it cooked down to, but it's about 3.5%. Use Cascade hops, SO4 for yeast. So it's real simple.
That's nice. That actually tastes balanced.
Oh, yeah. Didn't use too much Cascade.
Right, just the right amount.
Yeah, I was hoping for a little more malt base on it, but it's a little flat, a little thin.
So which ones do we like better? Do we like the bigger beers better, or do we like the lighter gravity beers better?
We're probably split.
Yeah. On a regular basis, I would prefer lower alcohol.
Yeah, me too.
Small beer. Even if it lacks body, I'm okay with that. It's got decent flavor.
Depends on how drunk I want to get.
Depends on the moment, the needs of the moment.
I would say in a sharing situation like this, the big beers are fine. They're a lot of fun because you get a small portion and you can talk about the complexity, the bigness of them, if you will.
Yep.
The smaller beers are more like, let's just sit around and drink some beer and
talk.
Yeah, not about the beer necessarily, but...
What'd you have to do, Vila? Did you have to chisel
Whose beer is this?
This is Jake Posey. He's not here today.
Oh, so we can talk bad about it.
We can. Horrible things, yeah.
So this is the one that's going to get voted down, right? Since he's not here.
No representation.
Here you go.
And then they only got...
I'm getting chocolatey.
I don't know much.
So it was a big
sack. With a bit of maybe some banana esters in this one. Chocolate-covered banana.
Yeah, there's a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
Fruity or something.
Yeah.
It's tasty, though.
Wow, it's a sweet nose.
Okay.
Yeah. Comes a second running's beer.
It actually tastes rockier than one.
Well, that previous one really coated, really had some legs on it. It really coated the inside of the little glass.
Oh, is this
the
second ring?
Yeah. It's me and Posey.
That's good. That's good. I don't want to get too...
You need a Tomahawk beer. This one, maybe.
Ooh.
This came out to the second runnings were 1080. We got four.
Whoa!
We got four. Quiet, man. We got.
Tell us why.
Because we're good brewers.
They can squeeze every little bit.
No,
maximum efficiency.
No, it was from both of our beers, and so it's like 40 pounds, 45 pounds, 50 pounds of grain.
Oh my god!
And we got 4 gallons at 1080, which Posey didn't like, so he added a gallon of water, and it came down to about 1056.
Okay.
And so we got 5 gallons at 1056.
So your original batch was like 300%.
That's
Woo.
Nice.
I missed the stuff.
That's a word.
It's the second runnings from the
Imperial Stout.
It's brown.
Brown. Yeah, it's dark and
dark brown. It's got some
beer.
Legs.
I didn't want to be
honest. Yeah. So this is
how embarrassing is it? Would it be if the founder of Boss got a thumbs down? On
his... That'd be cold.
Wow.
So this is Casey's beer.
This is Casey's beer.
Oh my!
Wait,
that's
yeah. That's Blake.
Boy, that sticks to the sticks to the side of the glass.
Come on, we were a little thin on that.
Okay, that's good.
Let's see, diacetyl.
I think electrical wires.
Band-aids.
Yeah, DMS.
Vegetables. Oil fish.
Nah.
Butter.
Oh, crap.
What do you expect?
What's got it's got a nice roasty.
Yeah, mine's got chunks.
It's about what we all expected, Casey.
Is that a
okay, everybody, let's vote.
Smells very nice.
That's all the character it has.
Oh.
So tell us about this. What?
So it.
You can't even tell us.
I got to 11:12 to start out with. It took a little longer boiling than I thought. I mean, you know, I'm boiling on the stovetop, so it's not a huge boil. But did 11:12, pitched on the yeast cake of 1028, got down to 1040. And I then did US05 in secondary, and not sure how much progress we've made. But, yeah. So 10%, still some sugar there.
Yeah, definitely some sugar.
This thing
might
do something
sweet.
Are we going to pitch some yeast in this barrel? We got a lot of sugar in
I
there.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. I think
you'll
it's
going to
turn out.
I'll tell
it. Yeah.
It's
going to
pick up that brown.
Yum. Mm.
Nicely done, Casey.
That's
very good.
Stout that tastes like
very good. This is the next to last one.
You know, I still
oh, wow. That's an interesting...
Big bottles of that chocolate chipotle.
Is this yours, Dave?
Again, I'm getting some banana esters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's not like an off flavor.
It's like 4 years old now.
No, that was early on in Boston. I was at Gary Gwynn's when I...
Your house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whose is that? Whose is this one that we're...
It's
yours?
Yeah. About 4 years old.
That thing was cool.
This is... It's not just because I'm standing next to you, but it's one... it's one of my favorites, isn't it? Talk about this beer.
This one started out at 10, 11, 10. Came down to, I think, was it 10:28 at your house that day? I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay. And that was about 2 weeks ago, and so I'm not sure what it is now. Followed the recipe, except for I put in a half pound of light brown sugar.
Just to stick it to you, sass of
these. That's his nickname, brown sugar. Is his nickname, brown sugar.
And pitched it on 04. Yeah. And didn't have any problems.
In secondary,
it. Yeah, yeah.
That's
good. I like it.
This is excellent.
It's quite good. Mm. Maybe it's because of the brown sugar, but
or it's because we're intoxicated at this point.
No.
Biela must have started.
Yeah.
How much did everybody lose?
I lost a gallon and a half.
I don't know.
I lost a gallon in
the blowout.
Oh,
mine went. I mean, it just absolutely.
I'm not
crazy.
Sure.
I didn't lose that much.
It went. The bowl that it was in overflowed, ran down the steps. Big puddle.
Yeah,
on the floor.
My wife.
I mean, geez.
My wife was like, really.
Really?
I mean, this.
So I finally put the whole blow off into a 5 gallon bucket, and she was like, I can tolerate that.
Ooh. I use one of those real Tupperware tubs.
This is really roasty.
And I'll put water in the bottom. Yeah. And just put the blow off tube in another container.
Yeah.
But I had a lot.
But yeah, mine was, I just couldn't believe it. It was funny, Casey, I'm thinking, well, I have this little half inch blow off or whatever. And I was talking to Casey, and he was like, no, dude. And he hands me this 1 inch giant tube, and I'm glad I did that because it could have been on the ceiling.
So we've tasted all the samples. What are the impressions that, I mean, you guys allegedly started off with the same recipe or. With a little bit of brown sugar. So what are the impressions across the board?
I'm surprised how different they are. I mean,
yeah, there is some distinct differences between the two, and there's also they are similar and almost.
Oh yeah,
they're in the ballpark.
Right. But there are some very, like mine was seemed really roasty, which following the recipe wouldn't necessarily make sense, but. With the potential correlation with the yeast temperature, the fermentation temperature, maybe that's something that contributed. But
yeah, I'm curious about the fermentation temperature and what effect. Because how many people had trouble with it getting a little high? There were another two or three people.
I didn't pay any attention to it. Okay. I said it's going to go. It's going to go. They kick it out. I'll go home and bottle it.
That's what we like.
You had a barrel full of water. That you stuck your carboy in. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't try.
I kept mine in the mid-60s the whole time, and I probably wet down 20 t-shirts in doing so, and my electric bill went up like crazy because I had a fan on it the whole time.
How many of those wet t-shirts made it onto your carboy?
I don't actually find it all that surprising that we have those differences potentially based on yeast and or temperatures because, you know, I've spent a lot of time experimenting with temperatures and the same yeast and different yeast and so on with the same recipe, and you can get some pretty different results.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This doesn't surprise me, but as far as I'm concerned, they're all in the same ballpark and really good.
I was amazed by how much heat this thing generated. I had that in my freezer, and the freezer was set initially on 63, and the temperature on the, like, the temperature strip on the it just kept climbing, and so I'd crank it down, and at one point it was my temperature strip on the carboy said 70 and my fridge was set at 59, so it was generating some serious heat. And then eventually it started cooling down and I warmed up the fridge and we kind of hung out at a nice 65 for a good long time, but man, it made some heat.
I'm glad that all turned out because that was an expensive batch.
Oh, yeah. The grain and that candy syrup, man.
Yeah.
It was
a little more expensive.
But it's how about thankful to the Houstons for being able to get something local?
Very good. That's new to us.
This is a good point in this thing to point out that we finally have a home brewing shop. And it's just kind of a block away. Our friends the Houstons, it's kind of a natural health food store plus a brewing shop. And it's right here downtown, and they've been really helpful with kind of anything that we want. They order for us, and it's been great. It feels like, a good sign of like maturity to the home brewing community here in Siloam Springs.
I want to say cheers to Boss. I know our glasses are sort of empty now, but cheers to us. I think we did a good job.
Cheers to us.
Cheers.
Well, thanks again to Casey and all the members of Boss. What a fun day. Now, another reminder. I've been reminding a lot lately because people, for some reason, don't hear or don't remember, but this is the last episode before we take our June break. No episodes, video or otherwise, being posted in June. But never fear, we'll be back in July, knock wood, with all sorts of new and fun stuff. And I've got a long list of episodes to record in Grand Rapids. It's going to be a busy, busy time. Until then, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com. Please don't forget, I need a break. Or fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. Please don't forget to tell us where you're from. You'll find our new bottle openers on our shop. Our Basic Brewing growler bags are available. Protect your precious home brew and craft beers. You take it from place to place. Check out our support link where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. We've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you'll get a free bottle opener with any of our DVD combos for a limited time. And you can check out our shirts in the store as well. Our brewer's logbooks are on the store. Keep track of up to 50 batches of beer with those. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Earth's Best Organic Banana Raspberry Brown Rice Puree. I don't know if it's meant to do that, but you could put it into a beer. And Dorman 748570 Jeep Liberty Rear Passenger Side Window Regulator with Motor. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. And please don't forget us in the month of June. Please keep clicking on the link in June, even though we're not posting episodes. We would greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Don't forget you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Fabrobotta. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio. And our website is provided by Kelly Dots. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of I need a break. Production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you in July. So long, everybody.